from WXXI News. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in 1888 when a French police clerk standardized the practice of taking frontal and profile photos of criminal suspects, what we now know as the modern-day mugshot. Alphonse Bertillon was one of the premier forensic scientists and criminologists in his day. Working for the Prefecture of Police in Paris, he helped formalize the cataloging process for criminal records, developed a system for measuring criminals' features, and he worked on practices to preserve footprints. But he is perhaps best known for his work in crime scene photography, specifically for being the so-called father of the mugshot. In 1884, before the process was standardized, he identified more than 241 repeat offenders using their mugshots and measurements. The method soon came to be common practice among police forces across Europe, and in 1893, the Bertillon system was displayed at the Chicago World's Fair and began to be used by American police departments. Newspapers starting running mugshots in the mid-1900s as part of crime stories, and throughout the past several decades, television news stations have flashed them across the screens often. There are now more than 80 profit-seeking mugshot sites online, some offering to remove photos only for a fee. Now, critics argue that posting mugshots is an invasion of personal privacy and leads to public shaming that can prevent people from successfully rebuilding their lives. And that's the position now taken by Governor Andrew Cuomo, who in his 2020 executive budget proposes a ban on the public disclosure of mugshots and booking information compiled by law enforcement agencies when they make arrests. Opponents say the move would violate the First Amendment and would deny the public access to important information. So this hour, we discuss the debate over so-called mugshots, how they are released and used, and the impact a potential ban could have both on people who are arrested and the criminal justice system at large. There's a lot to unpack here. Let's say hello to our guests in studio. Ron Holdraker is the editor and publisher of the Wayne County Times, which I think it's fair to say from what I've seen, Ron routinely does publish mugshots, yes?
Yeah, for the last 30 years.
Thank you for being here, Ron. Our thanks to Jim Van Brederode, chief of the Gates Police Department. Welcome, chief. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Evan.
Also with us is Daniel Ponder, a criminal defense attorney, and of course you might know her as lead singer of Daniel Ponder and the Tomorrow People. Daniel, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Ashley Gant is New York statewide organizer for criminal justice reform for Just Leadership USA. Ashley, welcome. Thank you for being here as well.
Thank you.
I'm going to just go around the table and just start with your general responses to this proposal, and then we're going to get in. There's a lot of specific issues here. There's a question of online fee sites, what the governor is proposing and why, what publishers have said. Chief Van Brederode, do you want to see this proposal go through?
Law enforcement does not oppose what's going on. We routinely give out mugshots. It's part of the openness of the criminal justice system, that whole concept of it being transparent and open. So citizens have a right to know what's going on in their community, who's committing crimes, and also it protects the defendants, having an open courtroom and stuff, so that the government can't just take them off the street and put them in jail, nobody knowing that. So, we're kind of caught in the middle of this thing. Obviously, it's a record that we maintain for identification purposes. The court has ruled under the FOIL that we have to give these up. We get requests all the time from the news wanting mugshots. In my opinion, the feedback I get from the community is that the community does find value in having a mugshot and seeing who was arrested. For example, this morning there was a story about some people who had, in Genesee County, had done some driveway paving scams, and they got arrested, and their mugshots were in there. And I can see the value of a resident picking up the paper this morning or seeing the news of those mugshots and saying, oh, that person was at my house 4 days ago, versus just a name and the benefit of having that picture of who the person was and being able to recognize that photograph. So,
Chief, do you take an official position then on the governor's proposal? It sounds like you do not want it to go through.
Yeah, we would oppose it as law enforcement. We don't see a problem with it. Everything else is foilable. You can walk into the courtroom. You want to get a copy of the accusatory instrument and see what the allegations are. And as far as the internet, that's a whole different story. As far as the privacy goes, it's a problem. There's no doubt about the internet. that there's videos out there that take off. We were the victim of one of those videos as a police department. So we know firsthand what happens on the internet. But the other thing I would just quickly mention is, you know, even if this goes through, I can assure you that the local news stations in town will get that photograph one way or another, not from the police, but I can assure you they will sit outside the courtroom and wait for the defendant to come to court and get that photograph. I can assure you they will search Facebook pages to get that photograph of the defendant, especially if it's some sort of a high-profile case.
Okay, but that's also part of the conversation, and I'll turn to Ron Holdrecker then. You know, the chief is saying, even if this goes through, news organizations are going to do that. I think this is a time for news organizations to ask if that's appropriate. Do you think it's appropriate?
You know, with the cell phone, okay, everybody is videotaping everything that's going on right now, and that's only one side of the issue. I mean, newspapers, TV, they give you the other side. If you look at mugshots, for instance, you'd say the public wants to know. They want to know who the sex offender is, you know, who the rapist is, who the bank robber is. Can you imagine TV news not being able to show who the culprit is and who the defendant is in a particular issue? I agree with the governor that, you know, the websites that charge a defendant to take down, that's totally wrong, but that's not the press. That's not freedom of the press.
Okay. Daniel Ponder.
So I think it's shocking that we are forgetting a principle that we love to talk about in this country. And that principle is the presumption of innocence. So we are not talking about people who have been convicted at this point, right? So even to say that they need to know who the rapist is, the sex offender is, that's not accurate. The truth is, a mugshot is releasing a photo of a person who's been accused of a crime. That person hasn't been convicted of anything. And in our country, which I think one of the greatest principles we have is that people are innocent until proven guilty. So either we believe in the presumption of innocence or we don't. So at that point, if that person has been convicted of nothing, why should that person be shamed? Why should that person be publicly shamed and have consequences on their life before we have set in our process of determining whether a person is actually guilty of a crime? So you either believe in a presumption of innocence or you don't.
That's pre-conviction. Let's talk post-conviction. Let's say the system changed where news organizations, police departments would release after there's a conviction. Do you support that?
I think after a conviction, if we have that right now with the sex offender list. So right now you can see anyone who's on the sex offender list being convicted of a sex crime. You can see their photos. After a conviction, you know, I'm very liberal, but I would say at the end of the day, you are saying this person did commit the crime. So after conviction, we know the person did commit the crime. Prior to that, we can't be certain of that.
But wait a minute. The system works in a way that it may take a year or more before that person's found guilty.
Right.
So that sex offender could live next door to you and play with your children for a year before they're found guilty?
That person isn't a sex offender until they're found guilty.
Oh, so they can live next door to you then?
Absolutely. Even if it takes 5 years, that person is not a sex offender the way our law sees it until they're found guilty.
But wouldn't you feel a little different if they live next door to you?
It's not about what I feel. It's about the presumption of innocence. And that's what we have to do. Either we have these principles. There's such a cognitive dissonance that exists in America. We want to say equality and justice for all. We want to say innocent until proven guilty. But then, at the same time, we want to say demonize the person who sits next door to you, even though they haven't been found guilty of anything. And the question I would ask to you, if you were falsely accused of a sex crime, would you be okay with your mugshot being all over the news?
What about a person who's already been convicted 3 or 4 times before?
The question I have to you, if you were accused of a sex crime.
If a person's been convicted 3 or 4 times before and is arrested again, should we have their mug?
If they are convicted 3 or 4 times before, and on that 5th time they have not been convicted, the way our laws see it, the way our founding fathers see it, they are innocent. You can take that up.
So we shouldn't
have
their mug?
Absolutely not.
Let's let Ashley weigh in. Go ahead.
So I would just echo everything Danielle said. I agree. People are innocent until proven guilty. And then I would just again, ask that question because you didn't answer. If it was you, how would you feel? Would you want your mugshot released, never having been convicted of a crime?
Yes.
I guess the question, what's the difference whether it's a mugshot or my name is put out there? So, you know, whether you say James Van Breda was arrested for robbing a store today, I think my name is still put out there, and I've been associated as committed a crime. Whether you put my picture on there or my name, it's my identity.
I would actually go further than Governor Cuomo and say that the name should not be released either. But I think the reason why Governor Cuomo specifically talked about the pictures is because they're being exploited. They're being exploited by these online companies that are requiring people to pay to remove them. And let's be honest here, they're being exploited by the news media. So there's been local channels who are putting up mugshots, not because the crime is going to cause any public harm, but because of the way the person looks on the mugshot.
Wait a minute, you're saying news media. There's a difference between the companies that make money off of pulling off a name off a website.
Yes.
And there's a difference between that and the news media.
And I'm saying both of them have problematic practices when it comes to mugshots.
Can I just to clarify here what Danielle is talking about? Because it sounds like everyone at the table at the very least agrees that there's something really ugly about charging people to have a mugshot taken down. Feels extortionary. I mean, it sounds like everyone agrees with that.
Yeah, we agree with that.
But what Danielle is saying is there's a local news anchor, for example, that I can think of, who posts a mugshot of the week on her social media, and she picks what she calls the goofiest looking or whatever. I mean, it's a way of publicly shaming someone for the picture that was taken. Mm-hmm. And is that okay with you, Ron?
No.
That's not okay?
The ugliest person of the week?
No, yeah. It's the mugshot of the week, but it's usually, you know, a picture that people are making fun of how someone looks in the picture, the particular picture. Is there something wrong with that to you?
Looks? Maybe the crime, but looks? I wouldn't go with just looks, no.
So if someone hasn't been convicted of the crime that they're accused of, what do you mean maybe the crime? Like, it's okay if they're convicted and it's posted, or it's okay?
Well, if it's a rape, or if it's a third-time DWI...
Still have not been convicted of a crime.
Yeah, I would nail them good. On a third time DWI, you betcha.
Even if they haven't been convicted?
You betcha.
That's the problem. Like, that is the problem with the criminal justice system.
Well, why don't you elaborate a little bit? And then because I think what I'm hearing, at least what I'm hearing from Ashley and Danielle, is if someone has a record of two or three offenses, four offenses, and gets arrested again, this new arrest should be treated independently, that they have every presumption of innocence that anyone has at any time. And it doesn't sound like Ron feels the same way.
It's not only that it should be, but that the law requires that it is, right? So even if we were going to trial on this case, I would object as a defense attorney. Basically, as a prosecutor, you can't argue that a person, well, they've done this before, so they have the propensity to commit the crime again, right? Because our law finds that that wouldn't be fair to the defendant. So the law requires us to see everyone as innocent with the new crime, if it's a new crime, despite the record. So I think we are either upholding these principles or we are not. And if you're going to want this, even though you said you wouldn't, if you were falsely accused of a sex crime, you would want to be seen as innocent to proven guilty, right?
Case coming up.
First, can you answer that? If you were falsely accused of a sex crime, would you want to be assumed innocent until proven guilty?
I would want it in the paper.
You would want your picture in the paper?
Yes.
I don't know you,
true.
But I don't believe you.
I'm sorry. But I got a case coming up this week where this is a man's third DWI coming up. The first two, he was found guilty on. The third one, he was just arrested again. But because of the way the law reads, he doesn't have to give a breath test. And he refused. Because he knows it's easier to get off without a breath test. But it's his third DWI.
He hasn't been convicted.
But he's been convicted twice already, but he's smart enough to know, and his attorney has already told him, hey, I don't have to give a breath test, and it's easier to get off without a breath test.
So this is my problem. People like you, and you're just one person, but this is echoed throughout the community, are convicting people before they've even been convicted in a court. That is the issue.
Well, let me ask you guys a question on the other side of the table here, real quick. You know, the hot item right now is body cam video. You know, where yes. would you stand on a body cam video being released before trial?
So, if we talk about body cam videos, I think we should also talk about the repeal of 50A, right? So, the repeal of 50A says that police are protected. So, if a police officer has been accused of assault, has been accused of shooting someone in the back or whatever it is, if he's accused again, we can't go and get that information and present it at court, right? And why is that? Why is that law in place?
Well, I didn't bring up the police specifically.
But who wears body cams? The police.
General, if you want to come in and see the neighbor's domestic last night, you know, or you want to see the issue with your neighbor, you come into my police department. I want to see the body cam. The cops were at my neighbor's house last night.
And if a police officer is accused of assault, I want to see how many times he's been accused of assault before now.
I'm not bringing up any police abuse. I'm just talking in general.
I'm talking in general, too. Right, I'm not bringing up a specific
You're talking
police.
About police abuse, you know.
And you're talking about body cams. It's all police.
Can I just make sure I understand the chief's question? It sounds to me like what you're saying is if the standard is until a conviction, no release of a mugshot.
Absolutely.
Should the same standard be for video?
Video. That's the question. Should the same standard be for video?
I mean, I think that's a fair question. And I think if I was a defense attorney and my client is acting a fool on that video, I wouldn't want that video released. So I would almost maybe agree with you in that instance. But I do know that other organizations have wanted access to body cams because wrongdoings on the side of the police officer. So I'm not 100% sure where I stand on that. I could see where it could be detrimental to the client having it released. I could also see where it could be detrimental to an officer having it released. But I think there is more of an interest in making sure government-paid workers are not engaging in problematic behavior, right? Because they work for the government, as opposed to seeing, you know, my allegedly drunk client acting a fool on a body cam.
But the bottom line is the slippery slope we're on is where do you draw the line on what's going to be public and what's not going to be public, you know? Where do you draw the line? I mean, any citizen can walk into to the Gates court, request an accusatory instrument. Let's take like a terrible rape case, right? It's now a public instrument that they can read the allegations of whatever terrible act may have occurred. A citizen can walk in and get a copy of that accusatory instrument, you know, with some very graphic stuff that took place. I mean, where do we draw the line on any of this stuff?
So I think with any legislation, we can talk about the slippery slope. But I think the question is whether you agree with the current proposal, which only involves the banning of the mugshot.
But it doesn't.
Which sounds like you're down, right?
But it doesn't.
You're like, okay, I'm convinced. Yes.
I don't know that I heard that from Chief Van Redder. But Ron's pointing out it's not just the mugshot, it's booking information.
No, it's not just the mugshot. Okay? They don't want the police to give us anything. They don't want us to give us the arrest report. I mean, where do you draw the line?
That's great. That's awesome.
Again, I hope he's not your next door neighbor.
Okay.
Let me just go ahead and our phone lines have filled up. I haven't even mentioned the phone number. So people have a lot to say about this. I want to read a comment from Diane Kennedy, who's president of the New York News Publishers Association. She says, "It is not happy news that the governor wants to encourage secret arrests. It seems like an excellent way to ensure that the arrests of powerful, politically connected people remain secret in this state. It also would allow arrests of suspected pedophiles and rapists to remain secret. That doesn't seem to serve the public very well," end quote. That's Diane Kennedy, president of the New York News Publishers Association. So Danielle and Ashley, she's saying, let's start with politically connected, powerful people. This proposal could actually shield the public from knowing. It would sort of give them some secrecy.
Give them some secrecy, but arrests are public. I mean, you can still go online and see individuals who've been arrested. You can still look at the jail census.
Not according to the governor.
I don't think his proposal is saying that there would no longer be a jail census or there would no longer be any public data whatsoever. Is he saying that there would be no public data whatsoever?
And it seems to me that what you're saying in response to Diane Kennedy is if someone who's politically connected and powerful is arrested, just because a mugshot doesn't come out doesn't mean we're not going to know about it.
Right.
Is that
right?
Yeah. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Ron, do you disagree with that?
Well, I'm sorry, but the governor still wants to keep those arrest reports out until the person's found guilty. You got to be careful. It's a very slippery slope.
I don't know if that's his proposal, but I also don't have a problem with that either. So, I mean, I know we're going to disagree on this. I mean, I'm sorry, what was your name, Ron?
Ron,
at the end of the day, we have to give the same rights to the sex offender or the alleged sex offender that we give to the alleged person with the DWI, that we give to the alleged person with the petty larceny.
Or the bad cop.
So we don't get to, or we the alleged officer committed assault, right? We don't get to pick and choose, or the politician. We don't get to pick and choose who gets the rights.
But we are picking and choosing. By not publishing the information, you're just saying, you know, you got to remember something else. In our system, in our court system, there's something called plea bargaining.
Okay?
So now I've got a felony DWI arrest, or I've got a DWI arrest that's been pled down.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens then?
What do you mean, what happens?
Well, originally I was arrested for murder. Now it's being pled down to manslaughter or below. What happened to the original case?
So maybe it was pled down to manslaughter because it wasn't a murder.
Or we got a good lawyer. Or maybe we don't have a good lawyer and it never got pled down. Where are you drawing the line here?
I'm drawing the line at the what the court,
what
our system requires.
Our
the
system
presumption
doesn't require plea bargaining, but it happens.
Exactly. But the DA has a burden of proof, and that district attorney may not be able to prove murder. So there may be a manslaughter offer.
Or
right?
Or the defendant got a really good lawyer.
Okay. Or the defendant got a really good lawyer.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we either have to trust our system or we don't trust our system, right?
That's good if you're poor, right?
So release the photographs.
That's good if
you don't
if you're
trust
poor?
The system.
No, it's not.
Oh, I'm like, okay.
It's not.
Exactly.
Now, producer Megan Mack points out an important distinction with what Governor Cuomo is proposing, and I wonder if this changes or at least affects the conversation. Again, listeners, if you're just joining us, the Cuomo administration is proposing a change to the law that would ban the release of what we would call mugshots and booking information after an arrest.
Yes.
Now, there is an exception. The exception in the law, the proposal would allow police to choose to publicly release mugshots and booking information if they determine it serves a specific law enforcement purpose, such as if a dangerous criminal is on the loose and police want to publicize that photo for that purpose. Chief Van Brederode, is that an important distinction?
Well, that's a no-brainer. That's common sense, you know what I mean? That you would do that, release a photograph or looking for somebody, or that's just common sense in police work, you know, and I think the community would expect that, you know, that we would do that, release someone's photograph if we're looking for them. That's really not the issue here today. I think the issue is getting back to just in general releasing a mugshot. And again, I can just tell you as a police chief, I know the citizens in my community. You know what? They want to know. They want to see who was breaking into the cars last night in their neighborhood. You know, it's information that I know the community enjoys.
But when they're arrested, it doesn't mean that that's the person that was breaking in, right? I mean, and so let me just make sure, because I want to follow up what Chief Van Brederode said earlier in the hour, which is that let's say there's a driveway paving scam, and someone's mugshot shows up on the news, and you go, wait a second, that guy was working on my driveway last week. That could be helpful information if you find out you got scammed in some way or something happened. But if that person hasn't been convicted yet, what's the difference between that and then waiting a week, a month, a year to put that out there if a consumer or a neighbor or somebody needs that information? If there's not a person who's deemed to be a dangerous threat to the community on the loose, why do we put that mugshot out there, Chief, before there's a conviction?
Because that person has a day, a week, a year to keep committing that crime and taking victims.
But what if they haven't committed that crime? What if it's just an assumption?
What if they have gone on for a year?
That's for the court. I'm sure
to
with
decide.
His pending case, he will continue doing more of that. I'm sure that's going to happen. I mean, let's use common sense. You're accused of fraudulent behavior, scamming people, and you're going to continue doing it while your case is pending?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Ask the chief.
Okay.
Okay. So, but Ron is saying that if that person before trial is doing the work, that you may want to know, at least as a consumer, I probably want to avoid that person. Even if they aren't deemed guilty, even if they're not convicted, Maybe I will hire somebody else. Is there value to the community there?
I think there, perhaps there is value to the community, but I also look at the danger that it does to an innocent individual.
So it's outweighed by
the injustice. I absolutely think it's outweighed.
That you see.
Because
okay.
We're going to want that for ourselves. We're going to want that presumption of innocent for ourselves. But unfortunately, when we think of people who are committing crime, we're thinking of poor people. We're thinking of people of color. We're thinking of people other than us. But I guarantee you, everyone in this room will want the benefits of a presumption of innocence if they were accused with a crime. And that's why we cannot have these pick and choose moments. And that's why we have this blanket principles. Because if it happens to me, I want the presumption. If it happens to you, you want the presumption. And I think we don't realize that until we're in that position, until we put ourselves in that person's shoes.
Ashley?
And I had a question. So what do you think about folks whose mugshot is released and they are accused of crimes falsely and now their lives are ruined because of the stigma that comes with that? What happens to those?
That's you ruining their lives, not them. What I would do, we've had people say, hey, I was found innocent, okay? I rely on the police to do their job. And the police don't arrest somebody for absolutely no reason.
We do
our work also. We check and find out. Sometimes maybe a person is innocent. We'll put that in also, okay? It's you.
A lot of times folks are innocent.
Officers
are not determining whether the person is guilty. An officer is not the judge, he's not the jury, he's not the prosecutor.
No, but they have to make a determination on an arrest.
Okay,
but if you could ask the chief, his officers are not going to make an arrest on a whim.
Probable cause to arrest someone does not mean that that person is guilty of the crime,
right?
No,
it does not.
So none of his officers are saying you are guilty of this crime. So if someone calls and says, X person punched me in the face, officer talks to her, believes she may be reliable, he has probable cause to make that arrest, he's not saying that that person is now guilty. And I think mm-hmm. that's what, you really just want people to be guilty until proven innocent.
No.
Yes, absolutely.
It sounds to me like, it sounds to me like Ron thinks when an arrest is made, police have done the work enough mm-hmm. to be rather certain that that person is guilty. Do you agree with that?
No.
You don't agree with that?
You know, I put in arrests, pure and simple. I don't call them guilty. We always use the word alleged, or we always put in arrests by the police, mm-hmm. okay? If a person's not found guilty, we'll put that in also.
It sounds like what you were saying is that when you say, I trust police, what you're saying is they're doing good work. And I don't think they're making an arrest for no reason.
That's right.
So it sounds like when you decide as a publisher of the Wayne County Times,
yes.
I'm going to use this because the majority of the time the police are making an arrest, probably maybe you think the vast majority, because that person is guilty.
Yes, they're making an arrest for a good reason.
Okay. Let me ask the chief to weigh in on that. And then what I want to do is just follow up on one other important point that I think has been missed here. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm...
What was the question?
You guys are arguing so much.
How do you feel with what Ron is saying and that he's trusting officers to do their work? In other words, he doesn't think officers are arresting on a whim.
Right.
And that he doesn't think it's the responsible thing to do is say, you've made an arrest. It's news. We're putting this in the paper.
Well, you know, the arrests are based on probable cause, you know, and if the police are out there illegally arresting people, there's remedies for that, you know. I find that very far and few between that goes on every day. I would definitely disagree with you that the cops are out there arresting people every day falsely.
I didn't say every day, but I said it does happen. Maybe not in Gates, but it definitely happens with the Rochester Police Department.
Okay, well then, you know what? There's remedies for that. There's mm-hmm. remedies
Absolutely.
For that, and that's what you pursue. But again, I think the bottom line is, you know, the simple question is, do we release mugshots or not? If on the news tonight they say Evan Dawson of, 35 years old, of Greece, you know, robbed the bank
today. Oh, he's
today.
Over 35. Come on.
I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah.
robbed the bank today. It's on the internet. That story, I can retrieve it 5 years from now, how Evan Dawson of Greece Saves Her Life was arrested for the bank robbery. He goes, he gets found not guilty. That story is still out on the internet, whether or not his photo's out there. But it's out there. You know, the damage, I guess, is done either way with the internet today. The stories, you Google your name, you can find stuff that's unbelievable.
Okay,
it's out there.
So what the chief is saying there is you don't. It's not just the mugshot. That once that the news of that arrest gets out, it can damage me in the future either way.
Oh, either way.
What I think Danielle and Ashley have been pointing out is that when there is an arrest of someone and there's a publication of information about that person and that person is found not guilty, their life could be ruined by that. Ron, the point I think kind of that flew by real quick here is when you, because Ashley looked really surprised when you said, I'm not ruining their lives, you are. I think you're saying society is.
Yes.
Society is ruining that person's life. That's a cultural change that you think we need to have so that we
yes.
understand. But I think what I also hear, Ron, is realistically, you know, that mugshot is that it stays with people, and that
so does the words. So do the words.
Okay, no. I just want to understand your position, but
yes.
you're not saying actually. You're saying society is what's ruining
yes.
that person.
Yes.
Okay.
Also, too, like we can't ignore racism when we talk about mugshots. When you put up a mugshot, depending on what that person looks like, people automatically draw conclusions. That is proven every day. You can go under any news website and look at what mugshots or stories, and you can see the comments and what those comments are saying, depending on what color this person is. When you put up people's mugshots without ever convicting them of a crime, whether we like it or not, assumptions are automatically made about that person. People lose their jobs. The community around them don't trust them. We see in the comments how racist the community that we live in really is. So I just think we need to like consider that. And then back to what you said about like, I'm not doing that. I just believe, you know, that if someone's arrested, it's for good cause, but I'm not convicting them. But this guy who's been previously arrested twice, you said this is his third time. Like he did this. Like you don't, but we don't know that. But you still posted his mugshot. We don't know why he didn't take that sobriety test. We don't know what, you know, what the reasons was he got pulled over. We don't know what the content is, but
he was driving on the wrong side of the road.
Listen, regardless, we don't know if he was drunk though.
Actually he ran into somebody and then he fought with the officer.
So that means he was drunk because he's been convicted of that?
Well, if you read the story, you'd pretty much, and if you were the
that's
officer
you
there.
That's you assuming. That's you being
no,
the judge
that's
the and
the officer
jury.
Assuming. Not me.
Officer, you, society, community, it's still someone outside of the court system. Being
if somebody
the judge
hits me
and jury.
In the head with a brick, I don't need to know, you know, that he's not a good person.
So
I
do you think that we
that.
Should even have this system that we currently have of a judge, a jury, a prosecutor, a defense attorney? Do you think it sounds like you want to bypass that whole process?
Oh, no, by all means. Lawyers got to make money.
What? What is going on? So why do you believe that system
that
is necessary?
Ron, that cannot be the only reason you think that we
Ron,
need to go to court.
I'm getting you so well. I know why you like those mugshots. You want to be sensational. You like the drama. You like the, yeah, I get it. Okay.
But Ron, no, when Ashley says she sees a note of racism and how the public encounters mugshots, maybe how the news media handles them, do you?
No. No. In fact, if you look at our paper, it's mostly white. I mean, Wayne County is mostly white. Okay? Unfortunately, race, you know, people, there's nothing you can do about it. Race figures into everybody's thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay?
I mean, I think actually
even the
mayor's a broader point.
Did you say even the mayor's?
Yeah.
Because she's black?
Yes.
Okay, exactly. These are my points.
I think she's making a broader point about how mugshots have been used, even historically. Mm-hmm. Mugshots have been used to dehumanize people of color. When we think about the O.J. Simpson Time magazine cover, that darkened mugshot, when we think of people who have been killed by police, news outlets using their mugshot as opposed to using, you know, family photos, whatever it might be. It has been a tool to dehumanize specifically people of color. So while maybe that's not an issue with your publication, I think she's saying that in a broader sense, this is happening and has happened historically. Probably the most famous mugshot was Willie Thornton's mugshot, which was used in a political campaign, right? So the picture, a mugshot is used in many ways to dehumanize people. And immediately cast this this kind of this person is bad or this person is the bad guy.
Well, if you're Trump, it's right? more Mexicans now.
What?
I think what we're late happening? For, I think we're late for our only break. Let's go ahead and get our only break of the hour. You're hearing Ron Holdraker, publisher and editor of the Wayne County Times, and Chief Jim Van Brederode of the Gates Police Department, Danielle Ponder, a criminal defense attorney, Ashley Gant, New York statewide organizer for criminal justice reform for Just Leadership USA. The proposal from Governor Cuomo's office is to ban the release of mugshots, so-called mugshots, and booking information after an arrest, with exceptions as police make them in the case of what they feel are dangerous individuals on the loose and the need to publicize a photo for those purposes. We're talking about the debate here, and let's get our only break of the hour, and we'll come back to some of your feedback next. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections, in our first hour, a conversation about false confessions. How often they happen, when and why they happen, and what to do about them. In our second hour, if things feel very much polarized in American society right now, well, here's an example from another country about how people from different backgrounds got past that polarization and came together. Talk with you Thursday. Welcome back to Connections. A brief hello from producer Megan Mack on the third day of our winter membership campaign. Hello.
Hello. Yes, I'll be very brief. We are behind our goal. I just looked at the numbers and we need your help. Please call 454-6300 to keep conversations like the one you're hearing now on Connections on the Air. I was having a conversation this morning with a local community member who said she would love if the more people in the world could have civil conversations, conversations in which they disagree, where they sit down together and they don't shout and they don't name call and they just share their perspectives and are respectful of each other. That is exactly what is happening now on Connections. That is made possible by listeners like you. 454-6300 to keep this and other conversations on Connections going, keeping us strong. You can also go online to WXXINews.org, hit that donate now button, and thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Megan. Don writes to us and says, how is Danielle Ponder getting away with using the presumption of innocence as a reason not to release an image? Why doesn't that same argument apply to releasing a name? Why does presumption of innocence shield your image and not your name?
So what I initially said is that I am personally okay with no information being released.
No booking information at all, which is part of this proposal.
Yes, but I was specifically speaking about the mugshots just because that was the piece of data that we were talking about.
Okay, but do you see name, mugshot, you don't want either released?
If it was up to me, I don't think any of that should be released.
No. Actually, agree.
I do think that caveat in regards to officers making a decision that there is an immediate danger to the community is an important one. And so I would be fine with that caveat.
Okay. Let's get some of your feedback. Mary in Rochester first. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi. Hello, Danielle and Ashley. I wanted to comment about what I heard Ron say, that it doesn't take a brick to hit you in the head to know that this guy isn't a good person. That just really struck me because I'm pretty sure you've never met this person. And I think that there is an unfair correlation made with perception of criminal behavior, whether that's based on the color of your skin or the content or what you've done. Being tied to somehow you're a good person. And I think maybe what's motivating the mugshots in the paper is that in some level you think they deserve that public shame.
So Mary, briefly, and Ron can correct me if I'm wrong, what I heard Ron say was, if you hit someone in the brick with the head, we know you're a bad person. We don't need a conviction. I think that's
okay.
A police officer in the head. I don't know.
Yes.
What did you say? If you hit a police officer in the head with a brick, we know you're a bad person?
Yeah.
Okay.
You said it doesn't take you to be hit in the head with a brick to realize that this guy who's accused of drunk driving is a bad person.
Okay, see, I missed it. Okay, so maybe I missed it.
That's what I heard.
All right, so the bottom line, though, Mary's question is, it sounds like you think the mugshots are sort of deserved because these are bad people.
No. They're being arrested for doing something, okay? And that's why the mugshots are in, pure and simple. It's the police job to arrest them. And it's our job just to give them their the arrest reports.
Okay.
To publicize
them. You feel like they're bad people?
I don't think anybody's a bad person.
You said that, though, but you can scale back. I understand.
No, I don't think they're bad. I just think that they've been arrested, pure and simple.
Okay. Mary, anything you want to add there?
Nope. I think you answered my question.
All right, Mary, thank you. Yeah, does Mary's question make sense to you, Ron? Do you think she's hearing sort of a final judgment on someone, good person, bad person? And it sounds like, you know, without speaking for Mary.
Dawson, you know, I've been in it for 30 years, and I can tell you right now, I know a lot of these people that are in this paper, you know, and some of them are my friends, and some of them have been my family, okay? So do I say they're bad? No. Some of them are alcoholics, and some of them are good people, but they've done maybe some bad things, okay?
Okay. All right, so yeah, go ahead, Chief.
I got another direction.
Yes, please.
So ultimately, this is, you know, if this thing gets passed, you know, the media is going to challenge this in court. And, you know, what is WXXI? What is all the other news people in town?
Yeah,
you know, they're going to get the lawyers and they're going to challenge this in court. And the question is going to be, will this even stand up in court? Because, you know, the FOIA laws are very. Pretty much, we have to give up anything under the FOIA laws as a police department. You know, the FOIA laws pretty much get pretty much whatever they want when someone FOIAs it. You know, whether we redact some information or not. But yeah, the FOIA laws are very liberal.
But the effort to FOIL is actually there's a lot of journalists in this town who don't even know how to FOIL and don't take the time to do it. That would be much less. You would see a lot fewer mugshots, I think.
And I've done it millions of times.
I have no doubt that you, Ron, know how to FOIA. I have no doubt about that. And I think part of the conversation is the proposal, the legal proposal, and part of it is the responsibility of journalists. And I'll give you an example, Ron. I saw a story on a local news station, two mugshots, a couple in, I think it was the town of Avon, and they'd stolen $100 from a grocery store. And I found myself going, I don't know why I need to see their name and picture. And I'll tell you why. I thought, we've got an opioid epidemic in this country, which comes from joblessness, which comes from a lack of hope, which comes from a lot of things. This could be a couple who is out of work, struggling in a lot of ways. I don't know why they went into a store and allegedly stole $100. I don't know any of the circumstances of their life. I don't know why it serves my life to know that and see their picture. And I'm not sure that the governor's proposal should go through. I am a transparency person. I like sunlight. I like public access to information. But news media, I don't know why we feel like every time a press release comes out and we feel like we got to throw those mugshots out, because those people who allegedly, let's say they get convicted. I didn't follow what happened. Because, by the way, a lot of convictions or non-convictions don't get published. You get that initial. I don't know what happens to them in the future. They actually try to get on their feet and get work. And then somebody sees that news story. That's what but I'm not saying I didn't even know how I feel about the governor's proposal. I'm not like trying to play both sides. I don't know.
Or
but
did they allegedly use that $100 to buy drugs? We don't know where the story goes.
Mean that their mugshot deserves to be in the paper.
But we don't know the whole story, do we?
Which is reason why it should not be there in the first place.
Or maybe we should look deeper into the story.
I think, Evan, like, there is a bigger issue with our cultural obsession with the good guy, the bad guy. I mean, we have 10,000 versions of Law and Order, 16 versions of Criminal Minds. Our
Cops.
Culture seems to be obsessed with this dichotomy of the good cops out to get the bad guy. Even though crime is on a decline, we are constantly using this kind of fear-mongering tactics to make people feel like you're going to walk outside and someone's going to shoot you. You're going to walk outside, you're going to get robbed. People who live out in the towns, they watch our news and they think you walk down a city street and someone's going to kill you, right? So our news media is essentially... I think for a long time, the culture of this country is an obsession with this. So when we see a mugshot, even if the person hasn't been convicted of it, it's something sensational. And our news media loves to take it and run with it. But I think that has something to do with the American culture. I just think it's a cultural issue, which is going to be hard to undo that harm.
Well, you are the American culture.
Okay.
You are who we serve.
Okay.
And what about the portion of that culture who is saying, I don't want you to serve this?
Then don't buy the paper.
Wow.
So do you think you have any responsibility as news media at all?
Oh, yeah. You bet we do.
What do you think your responsibility is?
To tell the truth.
Okay.
Okay? And if that person's found innocent, we'll let you know.
You'll come back and,
oh, you
and clear
bet
up.
We do.
So all of the mugshots you release, you come back
we've
and
actually,
say what
we've
the...
actually, we do that. We try to follow them through court. But unfortunately, what we find is a lot of people don't want to follow their case through anymore. Okay? A lot of them get pled down. A lot of them, even if a case is found not guilty, the person would rather forget about it and let it go.
So you don't, the person would rather not their mugshot be in the news in the first place, but you don't consider that. But if a person, so you're telling me that instead of a person wanting you to come back and say that mugshot that I put up where we basically accuse this person of being guilty, the person says, no, don't correct it.
That's right.
And you respect that decision.
I respect their decision. Because I have no choice.
All right. On that subject, let's grab a phone call. This is Jason in Geneva. Go ahead, Jason.
Hi, Evan. Love the show. Real quick disclosures. I also work in the news industry, but I'm on a sales side, so I don't do any of the editing or anything like that. But you know, I had a personal experience where I had been arrested with aggravated and licensed operation of a motor vehicle, driving without insurance. I think there were like four charges all together. It gets published in the paper, not the Times of Wayne County specifically. So I'm not agitated with personally here, but I just wanted to report that, you know, the name is published in the paper, the arrest. Result was that I did have insurance. So once I finally got in front of a judge several weeks later, mm-hmm. Everything was dismissed because it was just not factual. It became as a result of an erroneous digital transaction from the insurance company when I had switched vehicles. But the dismissal was never published. So what I don't like is the idea that we've got to publish the information, prejudge somebody prior to meeting in front of a judge, and then no follow-up on the results. I do think with mugshot, this is my personal opinion, publishing mugshots serves the voyeuristic curiosity that most Americans have. They like to see who this is. There's a strong curiosity there. But I wholly believe that, and I haven't read the governor's proposal either, so I can't speak specifically.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a danger. Having secret police obviously is a bad idea, but not lacking the follow-up, I think, is a disservice to the public. People, anyway, you've heard my opinion.
Yeah, Jason, first of all, I'm sorry that happened. And second of all, I can tell you, let me just put this right on myself. I guarantee you, as a news anchor in commercial television news, I read stories with mugshots that included people who were not convicted, and I guarantee you there was no follow-up. I've no doubt that I did that. I'm just trying to be. But Ryan, you're saying you've never done that.
Yeah, but one of the problems with the follow-up is, like I said before, sometimes a case can go on for months and months and months and even years. So it's almost impossible sometimes to follow up through the court system. And the courts aren't actually that anxious to follow up and to give us those results either. It's just a boondoggle of lawyers and
it takes
else.
A lot of resources to follow on all, right?
My gosh,
well, that's an argument, though, to change the news culture.
Yes.
I don't know about the law. It's an argument to change the news culture.
I would love it if the courts cooperated and gave us, what happened every week in court.
But barring that, the question is, what does the news do about it?
There's nothing we can do about it.
You could stop publishing the information since you can't follow up if the person's been deemed innocent.
That's not our concern. That's the court's.
What?
The courts don't give us that information.
No, what I'm proposing to you.
So then we should have nothing, no news.
No, that's not what I'm proposing. I'm saying if you don't have the ability or the time to then correct the information.
We have the time. It's the court systems that's not giving us that information.
Yeah, I think so. If you don't have that ability, then maybe not putting those mugshots up in the first place, right?
So then we should give everybody a carte blanche and don't report the rapist and don't report until a year later?
Until they're convicted.
A year later.
Yes, yes. Sure.
Oh, I hope he's not your neighbor.
Okay, Rhett.
I will say, Ron, if my next door neighbor was accused of rape, I would want them to have due process.
Sure.
Right?
Yes. And do you want him as a babysitter then? Or?
That's totally different.
No, it's not. If he doesn't know about it,
No, I'm listening to you, Ron. I'm just weighing what happens in society.
Yes.
So I'm just trying to process through all the different prongs here. What's the news media's responsibility? What's the governor's proposal mean? What does it mean when we start to restrict information? Because, again, my instinct is open information. My instinct is if the public wants information from government, there should be very few reasons for the government to say
right.
no. That's my instinct as a journalist.
Right.
So I'm trying to weigh all of this. But, you know, I mean, I don't know if this is a societal fix that's necessary, as you say, a cultural fix, or if it's a legal fix. Well, I don't know. Let me get some final thoughts from our guests, and we probably could have gone all day, it turns out, because I've got phones filled up here. Chief Van Brederode, does the association, you've got the New York Publishers, News Publishers Association, opposing this. I don't know. It sounds like police chiefs generally are going to oppose this. Do you have an expectation that this will pass? Do you know? I mean, have they warned you that this is going to happen?
Well, I'm sure anything he wants right now he's going to get. I mean, it's just the way things are going with now that he controls both the Senate and the Assembly. I think he's going to get whatever he wants. But again, the question will be, will it stand up in court?
Yeah. Okay. And Ron, you know, courts can't refuse to release information, like you say. They may not want you, but I don't fully understand as a journalist what you're talking about when you say the follow-up down the line. Court. This is not FISA secret court here.
Oh, we have tried and called courts and said, look at. Give us the information.
They can't withhold.
Oh, they can't withhold it, but they can make it a nightmare trying to get it.
And that goes to the point of if we don't have the resources
yes.
to actually follow it through, what does that mean we're doing about it? So, so right now, your intention, operate business as usual with the Wayne County Times.
Oh, yes, because we publish as much as we can possibly get our hands on, and including indictments, everything else.
Okay. Ashley, final thoughts.
I hope that it does pass, and I think that releasing mugshots before people are convicted of a crime imposes on the innocence until proven guilty.
Okay, Daniel Ponder.
I want more compassion. I want us to think that if this was you, if you were accused of a crime, what protections would you want? And I think all of us would want the presumption of innocence.
Our thanks to all of our guests for the hour. You just heard Daniel Ponder, a criminal defense attorney, Ashley Gant, New York statewide organizer for criminal justice reform for Just Leadership USA, Ron Holdraker, publisher and editor, and you can find his work at the Wayne County Times, and Chief Jim Van Brederode of the Gates Police Department. Thanks to all of you for being here. Thanks to Rob Braden, engineer, Megan Mack, producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Wherever you are, have a great afternoon. We'll talk to you tomorrow on member-supported public radio.